what's going on with me, Jay? Am I okay? The Balos have, they used to travel and sing together, and they have some CDs, I think, still available from when they did that. If anybody here that's never had not heard them much before or was interested in one of their CDs, they've got several, some of their own music, some other music, and tastefully done. If you wanted that and you saw them, I'm sure that they would accommodate that for you. So at any rate, I have some of their CDs and enjoy them. And anyway, all right, enough of that. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Luke again, chapter number 2. I'm going to read two verses in Isaiah 40, and then I'll go to join you in Luke 2. Isaiah 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then, in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 2, if you're there, Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Waiting for God is not a bad thing. We tend to make waiting all about us. I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. Waiting on the Lord is a good thing. And to wait on God, the Bible says, wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thine heart. Sometimes we're impatient, but I do know this, that whatever God has promised, he is able to perform and he will perform it. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah. Some were looking for a king. Some were looking for a Savior. Those who wait for the promises of God, however, will never, ever be disappointed. Never. We may not experience all of those promises all the time in our lifetime, but we will experience all of the promises in his time, at the right time. Here's Simeon. Behold, a man in Jerusalem whose name Simeon, the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What consolation? Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. This morning I want to talk about waiting for the consolation. Waiting for the consolation. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the opportunity to open up your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts, that your will would be done in our lives today, that you'd be honored and glorified, that, Lord, we would be strengthened spiritually in this aspect of waiting on thee. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they didn't receive all the promises in their lifetime. Many people in Israel had lived their lives and had died in hope of the promised Savior. Many were alive at the time of the fulfillment of his coming. Many would see him and reject him as the fulfillment of that promise. Many would believe on him, the Lord Jesus, at the sight of his miracles and the hearing of his words. Some would not believe. One man who waited for the promised Savior was given a special revelation from God. In the passage that we're in verse 26, it says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. He was warned or told of God that or revealed to God by God that he would not die until that happened. You know, if you knew that you wouldn't die before the rapture, that'd be exciting knowledge, wouldn't it? Huh? But he was told that he would not die before the Lord Jesus would come. The Holy Spirit let him know that he would see Christ's death, life before his death. You know, we mentioned in our Sunday school this morning how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And that's quite a revelation, isn't it, to him? I want you to notice some things here about Simeon. First of all, I want you to notice character described here. His character described. In verse number 25, the Bible says that he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The character of this man here that was waiting for the consolation was that first he was just. And the word just means righteous, observing divine laws. In a wider sense, he was upright, virtuous, keeping God's commands. That's the type of man that he was. From a human perspective, we'd say that person's a good person, you know. He was righteous. He did what was right. Remember, Noah was righteous. Abraham was found righteous before the Lord. Then he was devout. Not only just, but he was devout. The word devout means taking hold well, grabbing onto, and has to do with being grabbing hold of God and the things pertaining to God. So he was just and devout. Would to God we had more people in our day that were devout, not pious, but devout, grabbing hold of the things of God and holding on to them and being faithful for God. What a testimony and what an impact faithfulness of God's people can have. We impact people not in the short haul, but in the long haul. People, you know, they get an immediate impression, but what is stamped on people's heart is the overall perspective of somebody's life. And here this man was just, he did what was right, and devout. He held on to the things of God. Here he's waiting for the fulfilled promise of the Savior to come. And notice the next word, he was just, he was devout, and he was waiting. And the idea is to wait to receive. To come in the Old Testament, sometimes the word wait on the Lord has the idea of coming before him with an empty basket waiting for him to fill it. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And so waiting to receive for oneself, to present one to have access for something, to expect, in particular here, the fulfillment of a promise. You know, many Christians are impatient. We all are kind of impatient. We want what we want now. We have the K-cup coffee now, right? Impatient. I want to wait for a percolator, not a percolator, but a drip coffee. And we have the drip coffee, don't want to wait for the percolator, right? Instant. We want it now. And people get discouraged or distraught in the Christian life because they want everything right now. God, you said if I would go to church that everything would turn out right in my life. No, God didn't say that. The TV preacher did, okay? In fact, he said if you couple that with a little bit of money, it'd help. We get the wrong idea. We get to thinking that God is all about us when our lives need to be all about God. He was just and he was devout and he was waiting with open arms to receive the promises that God had for him. Let me say to us here this morning, don't give up. You're waiting for God to do things in your life. Don't quit. We don't know when God's going to work, but he's going to work. He hasn't forgotten about us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And he knows what's going on in the scope of our lives in relation to his plan for eternity. So this man, Simeon, was just, devout, waiting. And then the Bible says about him, the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he also was spirit-led. That's a great thing for the Christian, that we're guided by the Spirit and not just by the flesh. Oftentimes we're controlled by the flesh, our emotions control us, and our thoughts overwhelm us. But he was guided by the Spirit of God. And how much more? In our Sunday school class, we've been talking about the working of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's just refreshing to me just to remind myself that it's not what I can do for the Lord. It's me letting God work through me, the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And this man was Spirit-led. How we need to die to the flesh and live to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. People say, preacher, I just can't overcome this thing in my life. Yes, you can. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so he was Spirit-led. It was upon him. He was in communion with Simeon. He was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple at that time. He was led to hold to a certain promise, not just the promise of the coming of the Lord, but the promise that the Lord would come before he died. He was Spirit-led. And I want you quickly in this passage to notice in Luke chapter 2, to notice the action that he took. In verse number 26, it says, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents of Jesus brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He took Jesus up in his arms and he gave God glory. He blessed God and he said, God, you fulfilled your promise to me and Israel. Here I've seen him before I died, like you said, and here he is who had been promised in the Old Testament. He took time to acknowledge God for keeping his word. In our day, people don't often keep their word, but God always does keep his word. And I believe that God in heaven is honored and glorified when we acknowledge that truly he keeps his word. Notice what also he did. He recognized, and we'll get to our thought here, but he recognized Jesus as the Savior. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He looked at Jesus, others had. He looked at Jesus and said, this is the salvation of God, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he recognized that salvation was for more than him, more than Israel, but also a light to lighten the Gentiles. He realized the scope of the salvation. And he understood the relation to Israel, the glory of thy people Israel. And he sees these things being led by the Spirit. The Spirit always leads and guides in harmony with the Word. He recognized the promise of the seed through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. The promise to Abraham. The promise to David for a king to rule on the throne. The promise of a deliverer for Israel and all people he saw. His words to Mary in verse 34. The Bible says in Simeon, if you want to look at that, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of men in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here, Simeon even saw the pain that would come to Mary because of what would happen to Jesus. But he recognized what God would do in Christ. You know, some people know about Jesus, but they've never recognized what he did for them. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard about Jesus. I want you to know he did something personally for you too. He cares for you. And so he recognized here things about Jesus. Truly, I think we could say that Simeon was a man in tune with God. He was a man who lived with an eye on the promises of God, waiting for the consolation of Israel. An eye on the promises of God. A song I learned as a kid says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Of course, we have to take them in context and make an appropriate application of the promises to us in our day and so on and so forth. But God's word, his promises are personal. Simeon took him that way. He was a man in tune with God who lived with an eye on the promise. But let's go back to verse number 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout. And I want you to notice again the phrase, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting specifically for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation means the idea of comfort. It's the same word that we look at, think of as the Holy Spirit, our comforter. And here he was waiting for this comfort, this exhortation, this encouragement, this peace that would come in a fulfilled promise, waiting for the comfort. He'd been living all of his life, and that comfort had not yet come, but he held on to it by a promise. It's an important principle. We want everything by way of God's help to be a done deal. We want to experience it now, but some of the blessing is in waiting for it, holding on to it, waiting for God. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord. Some Christians always want everything done, but miss the blessing of waiting. But Simeon is recognized here as a man waiting for the consolation or for the comfort. Well, what comfort was that? We read in Isaiah chapter 40, and I think it's directly this. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Verse 3 of Isaiah 40 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight a desert in the highway for our God. Simeon was waiting for the comfort, the coming of the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting for that comfort. It's interesting, Isaiah 49, verse 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. You have to understand a little of the history of Israel, which I know most of you are aware of, but I mean, Israel was brought into being by God, Abraham's promised seed. They'd become slaves in Egypt. God used Moses to bring them out, to take them to a land that he'd promised Abraham. And Israel became a great nation. But they sinned against God and were destroyed. God let the enemies overrun them, sent the enemies to overrun them. The Assyrian army, the northern kingdom, and the Babylonian army, the southern kingdom, destroyed the Jewish nation. And for years and years and years, they waited for a promise that God would come and comfort them. And several hundred years later, after Isaiah wrote, here is Simeon in the temple waiting for that comfort. Today we wait for the coming of Christ. Just like they were waiting in the first century for him to return, we're still waiting. And so Simeon was waiting for the promise of the Comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the comfort, let's think about it for a minute. The comfort first was in a plan. God in heaven had a plan. The whole Bible, in essence, is about God's plan of redemption for a fallen man. We fell in the beginning of the Bible, and those that are saved will be redeemed and with them for eternity at the end of the Bible. And in between is the whole plan laid out, page after page of God's plan of redemption. And so Simeon took comfort, consolation, waiting for that comfort. He was waiting for the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption for all mankind. In just a few weeks, it seems like we couldn't be there already. In just a few weeks, we'll have what we call Christmas time, and we commemorate the Lord's birth. But as the songwriter said, he was born to die. Simeon here was waiting for this promised Savior. The comfort was in a plan. God had a plan of redemption for Israel and for all mankind. As Christians today, we can take comfort in the plan that God has for us who know Him. Jesus said to His disciples, as He was preparing them for His death, and He's sitting there, the Last Supper, and then He begins to expound to them, and He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Jesus, preparing the disciples for their ministry that we continue today, gave them the promise of a plan for them to wait for. "I'm coming back." Amen. Today, we talk about Jesus is coming. I believe He's coming at any moment. It's a plan. And unfolding from that plan are wonderful things that God has for Christians for all eternity. I feel bad, really bad, for lost people. The people that don't want time, have time for God, that don't want Christ today, that live as they please, they may enjoy a few segments of time, but they'll be saddened throughout all eternity. But we who know the Lord and His promises, we wait for the fulfillment of the plan of God. You know, plans have to develop, don't they? All of us men that plan to do some work around the house, we need time for that to develop. Come on, fellas, I'm trying to help you out this morning. All right? Honey, there is a plan. Just give me time. All right? But we're waiting on God. Here's Simeon, an older man, who had waited, and God says, "Listen, you're not going to die until you see my plan unfold." The consolation was first in a plan. He was waiting for God to work out His plan. Secondly, the comfort was in a promise. A promise. Isaiah 7:14, which we all know, says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Promise of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Simeon was a man who was waiting for the consolation, a plan that God had worked out, and a promise or promises that God had given. Christians, we can wait faithfully and have the peace of God if we'll rest on the firm promises God has given us in His Word. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We put our trust in what Jesus has done, what God has done, what God has promised us. Even when tough times get tough in the Christian life and we go through tough times. And by the way, living for the Lord does not mean all your problems are resolved. But we can wait for the consolation, the comfort, holding on to his promises. Think of people that go through, there's people here that are facing difficult times medically. Think of Brother Greg. Of others who've gone through difficult times, Brother Randy and Brother Mike, and others that have gone through physical times that were tough. And I watch them hold on to the promises of God. We wait for the comfort. He'd lived his life. All his life waiting for that. Say, boy, I thought you said that God answers prayers, he does, but I just got to keep praying. Well, I thought you said Jesus is coming in. Where's the promise of his coming? He's coming. And I'm holding on that promise. I'm waiting for that comfort. The comfort was in a plan. God had eternal plans. Simeon waited for. The comfort was in a promise. God had distinct promises about a Savior who would come and be born for us. And he waited. Something else, the comfort was in a person himself. The comfort was in a person. He picked him up, held him in his arms, and said, this is the Savior. The comfort was in a person. A Savior, a King. He's our friend. He's God in flesh. He was our sacrifice. He's our prayer burden. One who takes our prayer burdens, a burden carrier, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything that we need. The person. You remember when John Baptist, who we referenced to when we read Isaiah chapter 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. When John Baptist saw Jesus coming, he's with his disciples. And as he saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A person. Our comfort is found in God's plan, in God's promises, but even greater than that, in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well, as they were talking and he was trying to correct some unscriptural thinking so that he could present himself as Savior. She said something to the effect, well, I know that Messiah will come. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. In reference to himself as that promised Messiah, promised in the Scripture according to the plan of God, a person. A person. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ brought comforting peace to the soul of Simeon, who had waited for that person. I want to say this. You'll never have the comfort in your soul until you have that person. The world tries to satisfy with things, with activity, with entertainment, with diversion, with escape. But the only thing that satisfies the soul is the person, Jesus Christ. Later on, after Jesus had talked with his disciples, he said that after his death, another comforter would come and abide with him, another comforter just like him. Jesus' coming to Simeon was the consolation, and he's a consolation for us too. What peace Simeon had when he took Jesus up into his arms, and we can't know that peace until the Prince of Peace comes into our heart. The world cries for peace, and they have summits for peace, and every president promises he'll do his best for peace and have the best ever peace treaties, and people promise that. But there's no peace outside Jesus Christ. None. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the Christians at Thessalonica, giving them a promise. He said this, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the phrase, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, Simeon had a promise that he held on to, waiting for that comfort. We're just like him. We have promises. When loved ones, the song that was sung this morning, you know, I pictured my mom calling. Did you do that? My wife had a dream after her dad passed away that her dad was at a big table. And he said, come on, Gail. Now, we don't put stock in our dreams like that, but someday we're all going to be caught up together with the Lord if we know him. And what a blessed time that'll be. What comfort we're waiting for that we feel even though we haven't yet experienced it. You know, one of the big things about Christmas time is the anticipation of it. You know, little kids, boy, they just can't wait. From right now, they're just thinking everything about Christmas, right? I want a brand new car. I want a brand new, you know. And the anticipation is part of the excitement, isn't it? Sometimes people anticipate something, and when it doesn't meet their expectation, they become downcast. I'm going to say something. The expectations that we have concerning heaven will always be greater than we ever could have anticipated. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Anticipation's part of it. You know, Christmas time's coming, birthday's coming, marriage is coming, baby's coming. Let's not mention any other things like retirement and stuff like that. But, you know, these things may come. And you look forward to them. And that's part of the process. Here's Simeon waiting all his life for God's plan to be fulfilled, for God's promises to happen. And God said, it's going to happen before you die. That person is going to be here. But there were scores and scores of others who waited. Old Testament saints that waited. Right up until the time of Christ coming, people waited. And there's a blessing in the waiting. As we wait for Jesus to come, we're resting on his promises. We're honoring him by trusting his word. We're glorifying him by taking him at his word and sharing his word with others. And that's a wonderful thing. As we wait for the promises, as we wait for the trumpet to sound, we eagerly anticipate, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like the first time you see Jesus? What's it going to be like when you, like Thomas, said, Lord, I don't know if it's you, you know, and Jesus showed him his hands. Thomas fell down and said, my Lord and my God, what's it going to be like? We're waiting for the consolation. Those who've received Jesus Christ as our Savior have his presence in person as a source of comfort. We cling to the promises built upon the plan or coming out of the plan of God, and we wait for the consolation. If you don't have Jesus, you can't have the comfort that you need to wait for. You can't have it. There's so much in our world today, but what great peace have they that love his law? What great peace have we in his presence, in his promises, in his plan, even though it hasn't come yet? Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel until he saw Jesus and took him up in his arms, and my eyes have seen the Savior. Titus says, for our conversation is in heaven. Philippians says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior. Titus 2 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. 1 Thessalonians says, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Christian friend, you're not going to have everything that God promises right now. But there's blessings in waiting on the Lord for Him to fulfill them. Waiting on the Lord, trusting Him, looking to Him, looking for the promises. There's a song that we've sung before, cling to the promises of God. I asked a question this morning, will you learn from Simeon and wait? There are people here this morning that perhaps are a little impatient with God. You hear people talk about being angry for what has happened or hasn't happened. There's no room for that, amen? Just wait on the Lord. Say, well, preacher, I've been reading my Bible and things aren't really gelling for me yet. Wait for the consolation. Well, preacher, I'm going through some struggles and I've been praying about them and things aren't getting better. Wait for the consolation. Call upon me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, preacher, I just don't understand why I'm going through all these trials right now. Wait for the consolation. Wait on the Lord. We learn from Simeon by waiting for the consolation. And you know, every time when we start looking toward the Christmas season, and I always do, and I always read through Isaiah, and I was reading through that and came in Isaiah chapter 40 and just developed these thoughts for this morning. But whenever we come to the Christmas time, I get set back a little bit by the lack of focus on Christ. I don't expect unsaved people to act saved, believe me. But what we need to do is focus on Jesus while we wait. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious grace. We can't have that peace like Simeon did in waiting for the consolation until we receive the Prince of Peace. As I look around and see people involved with everything but Christ, I can't help but think how disappointed they'll be. They're anticipating a good Christmas time. But how disappointed they'll come when death knocks on the door. See, if you don't have Jesus Christ, everything you're anticipating for is not going to happen for you. It all starts with Jesus. Simeon said, my eyes have seen Him. I'm waiting for Him. Maybe you're here this morning and I don't know every heart. I sat in church services like this for years. Thankful I got to hear my dad preach all those years now, you know. As a teenager, I wasn't always so thankful. I thought he was boring and long-winded. You don't think that, do you, about your preacher? Some people that I've known growing up and so on, when they see me, they say, boy, you look like your dad when they hear me preach. Wow, you preach like your dad. Nothing on purpose, first of all. I left when I was 17 years old. I can't really emulate him. But we wait for the promises of the Lord take place. We just wait on Him. Receiving Christ, I sat in church for years and years and years and heard my dad preach, but wasn't saved. And I realized that it's very, very, very possible that someone right under the sound of my voice has heard these things over and over, and it's just sound. The only thing you can anticipate is separation from God for all eternity, unless that sound becomes a reality. And that person promised in God's plan becomes your reality, Christ. As Christians, we need to be trusting His promises to give us peace today in the midst of the storm. God doesn't solve all of my problems, but He gives me peace through the problems and helps me ride the troubled seas. Taking our cares unto Him in prayer, we can have peace waiting for the consolation. What a comfort it is to know Christ. What a comfort it is to cast our care upon Him. What a comfort it is to just hold on to His promises when we don't see the complete fulfillment yet. That was Simeon. I want to ask you a question. Are you waiting for comfort? Are you thinking, God's got to do all this all for me now? Are you waiting for God to do something for you? He wants to. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, you know what, preacher, I'm done spiritually. Don't be done. Go back, say, God has a plan. I'm going to grab His promise. And I'm going to be like Simeon. I'm just going to wait for Him to do it in my life. It'd be easy to quit at times. It'd be easy to say, you know what, I'm disappointed with how things are. But Simeon waited for the comfort. Just wait. God hears you. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you need. But even more than that, God knows when you need it. Are you waiting for the comfort? Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. I'll give you rest. Waiting for the comfort. Waiting on the Lord for it. Waiting on the promises. Waiting in the scope of God's plan, but most of all, waiting on a person coming to Jesus. When this life is over, everything that's around us is not going to matter. What really is going to matter is what we're waiting for. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you're going to step into an eternity lost without Him forever in hell. But He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him." Isn't that wonderful? Any person that says, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Please save me." Jesus said, "I'll come in." Problem is, you haven't waited for that consolation yet. Coming to Him and say, "Lord, I want that. I want my sins forgiven." Simeon saw in someone, in Christ, someone who would be crucified, a soul shall pierce your side. He saw in that person a promised, crucified, and risen Savior. Have you seen that in Jesus for yourself? There has to be the time where we say, you know what? This is for me. There has to be that time. Waiting for the consolation. It's personal. It's in a person. It's in a promise. It's in a plan. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word this morning. Lord, as Simeon waited for the consolation, may we wait for the comfort that You promise in Your word, the strength that You promise. If there's someone here, Lord, that's never put their trust in Christ, may they come before Him today and say, "Lord, I want You to save my soul, and I'm going to put my trust in You today and wait for all that You have promised for me." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe there's someone here today that say, "Preacher, I kind of quit waiting. I've become a little impatient in my Christian life. I need to go back and just wait on the Lord and look for His comfort through His word and His promises in my life. I need to get back to where Simeon was, waiting for the consolation." Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I've become discouraged. I've been looking for answers and help and haven't found them, and I'm just ready to throw in the towel. But I'm going to be encouraged to keep waiting on the promises. Who'd slip up their hand this morning? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Who else? I wonder if there's anyone here today who'd say, Preacher, I really can't say in my soul that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to make sure. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to make sure. No one else is looking. Just by a quiet, uplifted hand, you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you remember me in prayer privately? Anybody here? I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to make sure in my life. Anybody? Just a minute, we're going to stand together. Let me encourage you. Through this time of year, as the Christmas season begins to develop, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep waiting on His promises and on Him personally. Would you do that? Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless these thoughts in our lives today. And Lord, if there's anybody that's not saved, may they get that settled while there's time. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on You and Your promises and what You have planned in our lives and waiting for You. Just waiting. Give us that peace that comes, the comfort of reliance upon Your word. Bless each person here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you need to come and pray as we sing. If you're not sure you're saved, come grab my hand and say, Preacher, would you just explain to me salvation quickly? I'll take you aside, help you get that settled, your decision. But I'd love to take time with you this morning. You come as we sing, Brother Jeff.